I want to go now to Ephesians chapter 1, read some familiar verses to you, verses you have heard before. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 12. And talk a little bit about verse 3. And many of the things you already know, and inspire you to keep them in mind afresh, always. Beginning now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, this is the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. May God bless this portion of his word to us. Again, Lord Jesus, be with us this evening. We are thankful for the morning worship and the evening worship. Thankful to thee, O God, that you are with us. And join us now some more. And impress us, impress upon our hearts the truth in abundance of thy most precious word. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, obviously, the theme here, the keynote, is blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, his people, his church, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So there's not one group of Christians, one church, whether it's very small or very large, that has not all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That is a statement that we need to take in, that no church draws the short straw, so to speak, if it's a true church of Jesus Christ. And Calvary Church is a true church of Jesus Christ. I am convinced of that, and I know you are too, because it's filled with God's people. The building's the building. It's a nice building, nice facility, but it's nothing more than that unless the people of God meet, and that's what makes this a sanctuary, where the people of God meet, a holy people, a blessed people. That's what makes it a worship place, a sanctuary, a holy place, of course, of a holy people. And I, for one, when I enter into the church, come here to preach the gospel, to preach the truth, the message, of course, listening ears, want to hear the things that are true, want to learn something about the truth, it's really helpful. It's very helpful for me. You know, sometimes I feel a little tired and worn out, I take a nap in the afternoon now. When I was younger, I didn't have to, but now I need it, you know, especially on Sundays. I don't sleep well on Saturday night because I'm just wound up for Sunday. So I get tired after the morning into the afternoon service, and I get up. I got to take about an hour, and I get up. And sometimes I don't feel like getting up. You know, I just feel like resting. But it's always worthwhile to get up, and profitable to my soul to come out to brave the night air, as they say, to come out with you. It's a blessing. We are a blessed people, and notice that we are. He's writing here to the church at Ephesus, a church that was familiar with difficulty and challenges and persecution and all that. It was a church full of God's people, and there was opposition for the first three centuries. It was total opposition to Christianity and to the people of God, and so they didn't meet. It wasn't a legal religion. And yet here it is, the Apostle Paul writing to these people saying, you are blessed. You are blessed with all kinds of blessings, heavenly blessings, in this present evil world. In the midst of all this evil, opposition, spiritually, I'm speaking spiritually, all this opposition to God, to Christ, to His Word, to His ways, you are blessed. And we need to remember that, brothers and sisters, especially when we hear so much wrong going on, so much opposition. We need to hear that we are blessed. That there's one that's for us. And that one makes a majority because there's only one God. So we have the majority on our side. By far the majority. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to first say that God Himself is blessed, right? God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, is blessed. The triune God, the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the fellowship, if you will, the communication is all blessing, no cursing. No evil whatsoever. God is blessed. All His perfections are eternally blessed. Not just blessed a little, not just blessed for some time, but eternally blessed in all His perfections. His mercy and His judgments and His forgiveness and His love and His peace and His joy, just all the perfections, whatever good thing you can think, is eternally blessed. And He has purpose to bless us, His church, His people, because He is the blessed one. I mean, let's face it, when God blesses you, then you are truly blessed. Someone else may say, bless you when you sneeze, and it's a courtesy, nothing wrong with that. But man can't bless. Only God can. And He's blessed you. Because He sent forth His Son, who is the second person of the divine three, who is the Word, and as one person put it, God's sovereign revelation outside of Himself. God sort of came outside of himself, became flesh in the person of the Son, and dwelt among us full of blessing, full of grace and glory. And he purposed to share his word, God's blessing, God's blessed word, outside of himself, the divine Trinity. When he purposed to come to us. Right? And we talk about that during Christmas time, that the babe came. He came in form of a babe. He started out that way. Came for us. That's why he came. You know that. He came from heaven. The only one that came from heaven to earth and went back there again. So he's the one that can tell us about things up there, as we say. And he's the only one. No one else knows. It's all superstition. It's all guess. It's all feeling. It's all whatever. Only Jesus really knows what goes on, what the goings on in heaven is, what the plans are. And he came from heaven to earth to tell us. And he has left it here in his word for us to consider. And when I look at the way things are going these days and the ugliness of people towards Jesus and towards Christ and Christianity, I think I'm truly blessed. Truly blessed. They're not going to bless me. No, I'm not blessed by them. I'm cursed by them. You know, if I got on television, if they asked me some of the questions they asked these talking heads on television, and I opened my mouth, wow. I don't know if I'd survive what I'd say. You mean to tell me that as leaders of the country, as leaders of a great people, the most powerful nation in all the world, that you're for sodomites? That you want to promote sodomy? Oh man, I just get tossed. You know, people that oppose this whole sexual perverse thing, you never hear them say that, do they? About homosexual marriage, for example. Homosexual marriage, you're perverted. You're promoting sodomy. Is that what you want for your kids? Like I said, I would be cursed. It's up and down. I would probably try to refrain myself from saying that, but eventually I'd say, no, it would just come out. So we're blessed, but we are blessed by God. That's the first thing that we need to realize, that God is blessed, is thrice blessed, and he has purpose to send his son to bless us, because the world is not going to. Not really. Pat you on the back, give you encouragement, come along with us, you'll be fine and all that stuff. We'll give you a job, we'll pay for this, we'll do this. That's not blessing compared to this, what God is talking about. And so you could see where this is going, right? And what Paul is talking about here throughout. I don't have time to get into all the verses here because there's so much meaning, but it all has to do with redemption and forgiveness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, spiritual things. He's not talking about material blessing at all, is he? Not at all. These people were rejected. They were being persecuted. They were doing this religion. They were practicing this religion that was outlawed. They weren't blessed, materially speaking, from an earthly point of view, but they were blessed with all kinds of blessings, but in heavenly places, spiritual things in Christ Jesus. And that's because of who he is. So God came outside of himself to let us know what's going on and what his purpose is for a people. Not yet a people, but will become the people of the living God through faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for us. You know what else? We're blessed. We read about this in Hebrews, for example, but it's other places in the scripture that God has appointed angels. Angels are real, right? We believe in angels. And some of our patriarchs and fathers of old saw angels. Angels visited with them. In the scriptures I'm talking about. Patriarchs, prophets, judges, things like that. They actually saw angels. Well, you know what the charge of an angel is? Angels are charged to be ministering, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, ministering spirits to the saints for the benefit. Listen. Of our salvation. That's a blessing. A wonderful blessing. God has charged his angels. And as I have often said, I believe an angel is charged to watch over us. It may be more than one. But there's an angel present amongst us, watching over us. For the sake of our salvation, not our material prosperity or our physical wellness, but with a much greater task, our spiritual wellness, our salvation. God created all things, right? So he's the creator. He created heaven, he created earth, he created angels, he created man, he created everything. And because he created everything that is on the earth and of the earth and in the heavens above us and in the heaven of heavens above that, he controls it all. It's all according to plan. It's all according to his will. And everything is orchestrated again because he's the creator. And not only was he the creator, but he also governs all things. He's the governor of all that he created. And everything is orchestrated for our benefit, for the benefit of our salvation. That's what Paul is talking about here, among other things. That's the emphasis here. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, it's all going to work out for my glory, God's glory, and your good. Because I'm the creator. I made this place and everything for you, my people. That's why it's here. He didn't make it for the devil and the reprobate. Those going, he made it for you, most of all. They're along for the ride for the time being, until they cast into the second death, the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, just to reiterate for a moment how this works and how it worked. You remember Adam and Eve. They started out in paradise, right? Wonderful, wonderful place. Perfect communication with God, right? Fellowship with God. Walked in the garden in the cool of the day. They were friends. Adam, Eve were God's friend servants. They were to rule over this creation, have dominion, be fruitful, be blessed, be a blessing. But what happened? You know what happened. They fell. That was by design. That was according to plan. Because there is no possibility for man, even man in paradise, perfect or lapsable, to attain eternal life through works. Man could not even in paradise obtain eternal life through works. And that's why I take a little issue with Hodge talking about a probationary period, as if to suggest, you might suggest it is a probationary period, but as if to suggest that Adam and Eve could have behaved themselves well and attained to eternal life. Never. Never without Christ. You need Christ. Man in paradise needed Christ. And so when man fell, as one author put it, when man fell, he fell, according to grace, into the arms of Jesus Christ. Adam fell into the arms of Christ, according to grace, determined by God. And we see that as, because he promised that he is going to the Protoevangel, Genesis 3:15, says that I am going to put enmity now between the seed of the woman, which is Christ, and the seed of the serpent. Now, the serpent, I mentioned this to you before in previous message and messages, that Satan can't have babies. Satan can't bear offspring, so his offspring comes through us. So Eve is now going to produce more children than she would ordinarily have done had she been perfect and remained perfect. Now the seed of the serpent is multiplied. The desire is towards your husband. The desire is to have babies and more families and create this society, this civilization, this world of reprobate. But in that, God promises that the seed of the woman, which is Christ, will crush the head of the serpent. Will win out. And so, during the course of time, we know that Cain killed Abel, and there Satan got a real shot, and Thordke had won for the moment he did, because the seed of the woman was killed by the seed of the serpent. And now, where is the line leading to Christ? It's over, right? No. They had another child, Shem, and the seed begins again. Emerges again, and God protects that seed all the way up until the time of Noah. Remember Noah? The whole world was destroyed. All the reprobate were destroyed. Millions of people, at least a million, probably 2 or 3 million at the time. Don't know exactly. And they were all destroyed except for 8 souls. God rescuing his seed, keeping his promise that his seed would survive. Comes Abraham, and the promise is once again announced in the covenant that he made, the everlasting covenant he made with Abraham, that I will be a God to you and to your seed. Again, that seed is Christ. And then on to Jacob and the 12 sons of Israel, formed the 12 tribes, and there's a one nation among all the nations of the earth that where God's chosen. Not all of Israel was Israel at the time or ever was Israel, but the remnant was there within, God preserving. And then, of course, we have God delivering Israel in the wilderness, the howling wilderness, and feeding them with manna and water from the rock, and the manna and the water from the rock, that rock was Christ. They were symbols of Christ, types of Christ, if you will. He rescues them out of Egypt to show that he is going to save his people out of death, out of sin, out of bondage, and leads them through the wilderness that way. Christ leading them all the way. David was a type of Christ fighting, warring against the enemies of God's people. Solomon was a type of Christ and brought Israel to its highest state. It didn't last too long, but under Solomon, the great king of Israel and Judah, they flourished for a while, so that the psalmist writes, glorious things of thee are spoken, O city of God, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. God is preserving a people, his people, Zion, the Zion of God. And in the fullness of time, you know, he sent forth his son, born of a woman, suffered, died, and rose again, crushing the head of the serpent. Finally, that message way back in Genesis chapter 3 and 15, that promise is realized in Christ. And so now, we have a psalm. And I used to think of this psalm as Jesus going into heaven and the gates of heaven opening up. Oh, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. In other words, Jesus Christ is entering into his church, and he's opening up the gates of heaven itself to the church and to his people. And so that's what is the blessing here, that God is preserving a people for glory. And now it becomes clear to us that that people is the church of Jesus Christ, made up of believing Jews and Gentiles. For the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God for the salvation, first of the Jew and then of the Greek or the Gentile. That's the blessing that Paul is speaking of. A people that are being treasured by God while in this evil place, in this wicked place, destined for judgment, he's preserving a people. Does that mean that the people of God don't suffer in this place? Of course not. You know that. As I said, God is not talking about physical blessing. He's not talking about prosperity. He's not talking about being free from illnesses or troubles, being as if we're immune from earthquakes and disasters all and sicknesses and this. No, of course not. But he is preserving us through it all, so that the judgments that come upon the earth, in other words, in other words, we are saved through these judgments, looking towards God, looking towards heaven, because we know it's not going to be here. It's not happening. It is not happening, brothers and sisters. This place is not happening for you and for me. Thank God we have so many blessings that we can be thankful for, but that's not what it's about. What it's about is that we have this heavenly place, this eternal place with the thrice blessed God, our God, and we have a relationship, perfect relationship with him in heaven, and that's what we look towards, so that when we see the judgments of God that are already in place upon this earth, and this earth is becoming more and more ripe for the final judgment of God, we're going to be rescued out of that. Because we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places that can't be touched by the sorrows of this world. But only the people. And as I said, if you look back in the history, you see how God was rescuing his people out of all the judgments, out of bondage and sin and the wilderness and threats and fire and brimstone, basically, on the earth. And he was just rescuing a people, preserving a people for himself till the promised seed came. And once the promised seed came, revealing the whole truth and nothing but the truth, those who embrace him are now going to be rescued out of this place that's ripe, that's becoming more and more and more and more ripe for judgment. Do not, brothers and sisters, look towards the earth as many people do who claim to be Christians or looking towards, prophets in this place as the blessings that God wants us to have. No, it's much better than that. It's much more eternal. I know you know this, brothers and sisters, but you know what my justification means? What your justification means? It means that I am not guilty of any sin, past, present, or future, as it said, that I am perfect before him in love. It's as if I never sin or never will sin again. Imagine that. Imagine saying that. It's as if I merited through my perfection God's delight, God's favor. That's what justification means. Now, none of us did, but Christ did for us. That's why it's so important to hold that doctrine. Don't let these people in the Federal Vision and other places obscure it. That's what justification truly means. And I am not guilty of any sin, past, present, or future, that is as if I merited salvation through Jesus Christ, of course. He merited it. We have become sons and daughters of God through adoption. So much so that we bear his mark in this place. In other words, we are to distinguish ourselves because we act like Christians, because we stand like Christians, because we talk like Christians. That's why Jesus said, for example, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, because you are heaven's sons and daughters now. That's the spiritual blessing that we have, all of us, every single one of us. Don't put down yourself. Don't put down someone else. I know it's hard not to do that sometimes because we sin. And sometimes we do act shamefully, and we should be ashamed of that because we are heaven's sons and daughters, and they're supposed to see us shine. The world is supposed to see us shine. We are not full of hatred. We're not full of animus. We desire only the good, even for our enemies. We desire their salvation. We pray for those who despitefully persecute us and say all manner of evil against us for Jesus' sake. And when all these things happen that are terrible, that we read about, that we see on television now, the fire and California, for example, we know better. Christians can go through that too, of course, and can lose everything in this world, in this life, but not their eternal salvation. It can't be touched. And as powerful and as influential as the nations are, and this nation in particular, which is turning more and more secular as days go by, we don't fret. Because in this place, we're strangers and pilgrims. And yeah, we are treated in a nasty way sometimes. We are mildly persecuted or severely persecuted. Our brothers and sisters in other places are killed. But we have become new creatures. All things are ours. And everything, brothers and sisters, everything is going according to plan. And it's going to work out for our pleasure. It's going to work out. And we need to hear that. We need to receive that. We need to meditate upon that. We need to think, more spiritually about things. And you know, sometimes in devotion, in prayer, in singing, in worship, we get a little taste of what glory is going to be like. How charming that is going to be. How peaceful and comfortable it's going to be. As the hymn writer says, "Bless him, ye angels, wondrous in might. Bless him, ye servants, who in his will delight. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," as Paul says here. That's what we need to do every single day. Focus on our Father which art in heaven, who gave us a message through his Son who came from heaven, that you are blessed. A most blessed people, and God is on the case. He's watching over you. He's going to take you to glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we are thankful to be your blessed people. We know that the promises of God are all yea and amen in Jesus Christ, and we have them and hold them even now. May that animate our lives more and more, these promises, these great and wonderful promises, which can't be touched by this world, by the terrors of this world, by the problems in this world. They can't be touched. Our adoption, our predestination to glory, our redemption by the blood, the forgiveness of our sins, as Paul says, by all the things that are everlasting, can't be touched. And we have them all, not just some of them, we have them all. Even now, they have begun. May they continue, Lord, may they continue. And light up our lives, light up the day, even this week that is before us. In your name we pray. Amen.